coming back from Israel Friday, I was in JFK Airport. And of course, just very excited by the things that I experienced there and the things the Lord showed me and showed many people. But when I got in the airport at JFK, I just have to tell you, I remember the first report. I was sitting right there by a monitor, and it said there's been a problem at this school, you know, and there was a lot of activity around this school, and they kind of said there's only been one or two. And then, of course, you know how the story grew as I sat there. And I was with Michael Peterson, a pastor from Napanee, and he and I just began to pray. We just started praying for the families and praying for everybody. But one of the things I noticed, I looked around in the airport, and there was a few people that it caught their attention. You can tell that they were moved. But I was kind of a little bit taken back because there were so many people in the airport, and they'd glance at it and hear it and just not laugh at that, don't get me wrong, but just go about as everything was just fine. I didn't feel like they were being moved, like there was almost a denial system that was kicking up in them, and they were just kind of shutting down and going on about their day. And that moved me quite a bit also, because I was like, oh, Lord, what is it going to take? What is it going to take to wake us all up, you know? And what Dave said is absolutely true, that, you know, it really has a lot to do with us, guys. It has to do with us praying and being who we're called to be and reflecting who He is and pulling away from the things of the world and really being those that stand for truth and righteousness and for justice. And so, you know, I hope that we all shift from this. I hope that we really get our understanding that we need to make prayer such a huge part of our lives every day. And we can't be bored with it. We can't move away from prayer. That's communication. That's talking. That's relating. We can't move away from worship, because that's what Satan is after. You know. There's many forms of worship, and you know what a form of worship to Satan is, I believe, is when people are captivated by fear. It's like worship to him, because now he has control over their lives, and that is his whole plan. To be able to control us by fear. And I have to say, being in Israel, I've been in Brazil, I've been in India, South Korea, and Africa. And I know some people were concerned about what's going on in Israel right now. Well, I just have to tell you, when I was in Israel, I felt the safest I've ever felt any place in the United States, anywhere in Israel. I wasn't making that up. It was true. I felt safe and secure because I knew that the Lord was with me. I knew that I was on an assignment. I knew that He was going to protect us. And I knew that He was opening our eyes up to His heart for His land and His people and what He's about ready to do on this earth. There is a divine connection between Voice Ministries and Israel. There always has been between the church and Israel. And we're going to speak more about that, and so that we understand it. But Jerusalem is the apple of His eye, and it will never change. It will never change. It is the apple of His eye. And there's so many different experiences that I went through being there. I don't have time to even begin to articulate it for this morning. I will show you one video and share about one place we were at and the impact that it had on me. And it was a sign and a wonder that took place while we were there. But one of the things that really struck me just Friday, I was walking into the old city. I was in Jerusalem. And as I walked in, I walked through the Eastern Gate. And I happened to just look at the Eastern Gate, and I looked back around at the Eastern Gate. And through the Eastern Gate, I saw the Mount of Olives with the sun penetrating on the Mount of Olives. And then it hit me. Oh, my. That is exactly where He will be, and that is exactly the gate He speaks about coming through the Eastern Gate of Jerusalem. And I thought, oh my, I'm right here, right now. And I got to tell you, it blew me away. There's so many stories. Let me give you this story. We had our guides, it helped us be safe too a little bit, were in the military. They all are in the military. But the one man that was over the whole mission that we were on. And let me tell you, he was not a guide for a tour. We were on a mission. When he set us down, he said, we're going to do things that nobody has done in Israel. We're going to go places that nobody's went before with 180 singers and musicians to release a sound on the land of praise and glorifying God in the land. We're going to do things that's never been done before. And this guy, he's a general. He was a general in the army. He doesn't like you to say that now, but he was a general in the army. And then our guide over our bus, he was a commander still in the army. And so when we went into certain Arab areas, he had to get out of the bus and we had to come back and get him. But he said, you're going to do things that's never been done before. And they took us to a newfound place that is to be the city of David. Let me explain it to you. One of the guides in the other buses, he was an archaeologist also, real neat man. And he was taking pictures as they were excavating an area, and he wanted to make sure that they didn't dig anything up. And it was a sound that he heard. He heard the sound of the bulldozer hit on something and make a certain sound. And he recognized that sound, and he told them to stop. And they kind of dug around. They didn't find anything. And he said, no, there's something there. And so he got down and began to dig, and he found the first step. Then he found the second step. They found David's palace. It was amazing. It's there. And you could, and they have uncovered so much because there's homes living on the top, so they had to build cement underneath and jack up with steel beams so those houses would still be able to stay there. And now they're excavating, and they found the palace of David. They found where he would peer off into the valley. And that valley was called the Valley of Death because it was where other people sacrificed children. And his enemies would go through that valley. And you could see other little places down where they've already excavated. This is a newfound thing where they've already excavated. And they also found where the tabernacle was. This is amazing to me. And so we're there seeing all this, and the guide says, we truly believe that this is where David wrote Psalm 23. And I said, what do you mean? He said, this is the Valley of Death. His enemies would come through here all the time because it was built up, and he was protected. And also on the terrace, you could see where he would eat and where they would be to eat. So even though I walk through the what? The Valley of the Shadow of Death, I fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He says, I prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. The house of the Lord was right there by him. Surely I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I was blown completely away. To see things come alive like I've never seen it before. Friday morning, we're at the Mount of Temptation, at the mountain where Jesus was tempted. And where the enemy was trying to get him to worship him. And we're there, and we're looking at that place, and there's a few things said, and Ray Hughes shared a few things with us. But as you look, as you were facing that mountain, right behind us was the rubble of Jericho. The rubble of Jericho, and one of the oldest pillars in existence, it's still standing. I never knew that. I never knew that Jesus was being tempted on a mountain. And he was looking across the little valley, and he could see the Jericho walls pummeled by the axe of his father and his people. I was blown away. So you know what we did? Something I want us to do. We addressed everything that's tempting us, everything that's trying to distract us, to keep us away from truly worshiping God. And then we turned and faced the rubble of Jericho and said that we would trust you, Lord, because it wasn't really the shout of the people that brought the walls down. It was God coming in agreement and what God did. And that so that if there's any walls that are hindering us and keeping us from walking in our fulfillment, we believe, God, that you can destroy them and knock them down and knock them out of our way. I didn't know I was going to say all that, but I feel like I could go on and on and on. But this morning, what was on my heart when I got up was about worship. Michael was singing about all creation worshiping the Lord. And there's a battle raging over our worship. And I want to encourage you this morning to do whatever you can do to make sure that your life is a life of worship unto the Lord, that you don't forsake the greatest thing that you could participate in, and that is to bring glory and honor to the Lord. This was before we went down into the cave of Zedekiah's cave on Thursday, 12-12-12. And you need to understand, some of you may not know, but Zedekiah's cave is right underneath the Golden Dome, the mosque. And so we were right underneath the mosque with a PA system, just worshiping 180 worshipers and just releasing a sound. And I'll tell you why we did this, guys. Because each and every one of us in this room, especially I want to say to the young ones that are here, you are part of a prophetic generation that is going to usher in the return of the King. And all we did was open up the gate, I believe, a little wider for more and more to come in and to plant seeds in that land of worship, to plant seeds in that land of unity, to plant seeds in that land to say, He is the one who will be glorified and no one else. And you see the chaos and the friction that's in Jerusalem, the warring and the division. So the battle is over our worship. So on Wednesday, we were in the land of where the home of Jethro was, where Moses lived and his wife. And I'm going to set this up. I'm going to show you a video. I'll explain the video to you in a little bit. But Jethro's tabernacle was in this same place that we were at. It was also the site of Ramesses, Moses' stepbrother, who had a temple for Hathor. It was an Egyptian goddess for turquoise. And so it was a place, we were there in the midst of that place, and we began to worship the Lord. And that place, at night, on the sides of the mountains, there's light fixtures that begin to portray and project Egyptian gods all over the side of the mountain at night. And the Lord specifically called us to go there and release a sound. And we were looking in the sky for things as we begin to worship and praise. And this video you're going to see, it's where we're kind of, we've worshiped for about 2 hours. And we're kind of spread out and people are just walking, interceding and praying for the land, praying for Jerusalem, praying for Israel. And all of a sudden, Ray Hughes' daughter walks up to the microphone and begins to sing a prophetic song. Did you hand those out? Those prophetic songs? Those are the words. She just spontaneously started to sing that song. Now, I want you to get a picture of this. We're in the midst of a place where there's a whole lot of different types of worship going on. Egyptian gods are being projected on the side, and not one of us went after them. Not one of us went after them. I want to make this point clear. All we did was proclaim and give glory to Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. We didn't let those gods bother us whatsoever. We didn't give them any attention whatsoever. We just began to raise our voice to the Lord. And then all of a sudden we saw in the sky this big Z, because we were praying, sing Zion, sing. We were praying for those in Zion, those who trust in the Lord. And we were waiting to see if God would show us any confirmation. And there was no jets. We didn't hear anything. All of a sudden, there's a big Z in the sky. It was a movement of the Lord. There was no doubt. I've got pictures of Ray he's just looking, waiting. Because the Lord had spoken to him about some things and promised him something. So I'm gonna pull this video up. I want you guys to get the lights down and make sure it's loud enough. So again, we've worshiped for about 3 hours, 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours. And Raimi, she's the one right there in the middle. She just steps up to the microphone and she makes what? A prophetic declaration in this song.
To age, to age. you grieve. With all of creation as we sing, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Can imagine where we went after that, right? No matter where you are, no matter where I'm at, he's got to be glorified and he's got to be praised. And it's no other God, it's only him. And to me, what did you do while you were there? That right there is huge. We released a sound. We released the praise that's due to his name. And we went to different places and there's the Z in the sky. Look at the Z in the sky. It was like we knew Zion, man. We were praying, sing Zion, sing. And that just, it came up out of nowhere. It was right after that high praise. We looked up and there it was. I think it was a sign and a wonder. Yeah, I'd like to thank all you guys, too, for your prayers and your fasting and your giving. I mean, there's a lot to share. There's a lot to share. Well, I don't know, you know, how that weighs on you seeing worship like that, you know, in a place where people have worshiped, you know, false gods. And but my challenge to you and to myself is to live in the place of extravagant worship, that you would have lives of expression, that you would allow your gifts to express the goodness of God and express and give honor and praise to who he is. And I wanted to challenge you and challenge myself to live a lifestyle of worship. Worshiping the Lord. Don't ever shy back from it. Do whatever you can to allow it to have its way in your life, day and night, night and day. To widen whatever area you need to widen in your time so that you can spend more time before the Lord. And again, this is a prophetic generation that's moving forward. The worship there, many times, you were just in the sense of awe of who God is and how faithful he is and how good he is. And again, I encourage you. Sometimes our worship was pretty bizarre, real bizarre, a lot different. Because here you got, but again, you got 180 people from all over. We had Pastor John there from the Welsh Revival from Wales who was part of it. We had people from Canada, several people from Canada. We had folks from Argentina. We just had people from all over the world that had gathered and came together just to go there to release a sound in the land and to really give him glory and honor. I hope that we can do that same thing here in Michiana. I pray that we would be able to put together many different folks to stand before the Lord and release a shout and release worship in this area and praise. That we would be able to be a people that would push back the enemy's strategies and plans, because the praise and the glory of the Lord is just too strong for him to be around. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm believing for. If you guys have your Bible, turn to John chapter 12. I just want to read this to you. You've probably read it many times, but this was bizarre worship and extravagant worship. Jesus, starting with verse 1, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with them. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. That's bizarre worship. She was willing to do that because she recognized who he was, and she laid it all down. It's pretty wild because, you know, she puts this perfume on his feet, and a few days, everyone's enemies would be at the footstool of his feet, right? And her focus was on the feet. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore, Jesus said, let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. That's extravagant worship. Turn also, I want to go to Matthew chapter 4. Go to Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Again, I want you to look at that. The Spirit led him in to be tempted. You mean God led him in to be tempted? The Spirit of the Lord led him in to be tempted. It's a whole other message. By the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I give you, if you fall down and what? Worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I just find that amazing. It's all about worship. It's all about who you're going to worship. And as David Raymer said a little bit earlier, you know, the answer, as cliche as it may sound to some people that are hugely opinionated, the answer is Jesus. Jesus is the answer to every situation, because when you draw near to him, you begin to be like him, and there is no murder in your being whatsoever. The answer is Jesus. And it will always be Jesus. And things will keep escalating until we finally understand that we will not divide our worship. We will worship him. Don't give your mind time to be opinionated. Don't give your mind time to be critical. Don't give yourself time to be bitter. Get into that place so that every distraction is laid low, that every wall of resistance is blown down by the love of God, and that you are a worshiper, that you will worship the Lord your God no matter where you are, day and night, night and day, and that you will not shrink back from that. When it all comes down, it's going to be where our roots are in the place of worship, because worship is an abandonment of our love onto God. We're choosing not to love ourselves or love our things. We're choosing to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is worship. And that's what he's calling you to and me to not be distracted, to not be sucked into these games that just lead us away from being who God's called us to be. Great humility is so necessary to be a man and woman of God. When I look at that desert, when I walk through that desert and I saw that Moses took all those people through there, oh my word, you got to be kidding me. There is nothing there, absolutely nothing. But the Hebrew scholar that was with us, you know what he told us? He said, you know what wilderness means in the Hebrew? It means freedom. What? It means freedom. When you go through a wilderness, a trial in your life, and if you respond rightly to that trial, and God's allowed that trial to even be in your life so that no longer will you be self-sufficient, but you'll be God-efficient, and you lay it all down, now you have freedom, because the wilderness has brought you into a place of freedom. Isn't that amazing? So when we respond with the right spirit and the right heart, God will bring us into the place of freedom. Men and women, don't get sucked in to what the world is doing right now. I know all of us have been from time to time, and we've all made mistakes, and we've all looked at places we shouldn't have looked at. But don't get sucked into this society and this way. I'm not trying to rain on your parade. I'm trying to tell you that if you want to live in the place of peace and you want to live in the place of hope, then you are an extravagant worshiper of God. You're focused on the light of the Lord, not the light of the TV or media. Not saying that all media is bad. I'm just saying we are getting rocked like a little baby to sleep, and we can't allow that to happen. I believe that community up there was a great community that those kids died at. I believe they were trying to do the right things. And I feel really bad. Soon as I looked at our Christmas tree when I got home, I thought about what they would be looking at. I do not know why that happened, but I do know that the answer is Christ. And I do know this, and that's why my prayer is that somehow the parents would be able to see those children were not at the age of accountability. Those children went immediately into the arms of Jesus. And what kind of comfort do you think that they felt at that moment? Right into the arms of Jesus. And that's our challenge for our children, for our youth, for us. That when the end comes, no matter what day or time it comes, that we were found worshiping God. God wanted this ministry connected to Israel. God wanted this ministry to have some understanding of the apple of his eye so that we could be clear on things that would transpire in the days ahead, and we would be able to connect them very easily because we know the word and we've studied it. And those who bless Israel will be blessed. Michael Hirsch, by the way, says hello. He brought me a djembe in Galilee, and it was awesome. We got three boats together on the Sea of Galilee with 180 worshipers and went crazy. And it was beautiful and exalted him. And at the end, with shofars and everything, every drum, we shouted to the north, south, the east, and the west and proclaimed the goodness of Jesus Christ. It was amazing to me. Three big old boats linked together side by side, bringing praise and honor to the glory of God. It's happening, folks, and you're a part of it. We're all part of it. We just keep saying yes. Don't let the yes in your heart die. Michael, if you're here, could you come? I just want to have a little time of prayer. I can release the rest of you that if you need to go, that's not a problem at all. But I don't want to leave without having a little time of prayer with those that need to kind of turn away from some things the enemy's tempting them with. And trust that the Lord will demolish and blow down every wall that's trying to hinder them from where they're called to be. Why don't you stand just for a moment? Again, thank you so much, everybody, for allowing me to go. Without you guys, I wouldn't have been able to, and I just want to thank you so much. Lord Jesus, as you're seated at the right hand, there's all kinds of struggles in families and marriages and children and work and abundance. And so, Lord, we just ask that today, that wherever we might be being tempted, that we would be able to stand against it and that your healing would flow. Every wall of resistance for us to fulfill our destiny would be blown down. By your word, you are the living word. So we just thank you, Lord. I just want to give, if anybody needs prayer today, that they're facing some things and they just want some of us to come in agreement with them in prayer, I just want you to feel free to come forward. Spirit of prayer. I see walls of bitterness and hurt and rejection. I just seen it real clear. I believe the Lord is saying this is on a couple brothers and sisters that walk in the faith, but they down deep inside, they've got bitterness and rejection issues. They want the Lord to heal them. They need His touch today. So Lord, we just pray. We want Your presence here. We worship You in the midst of this prayer. We want You to be here, God. Without You, Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. We love You. I want you guys just to tell Him how much you love Him right now. Just let Him know. We love You, Lord. We love You, Jesus. Love You, Holy Spirit. Love You, Father. You're our Papa. You're our Daddy. We love You. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Keep worshiping. If you need to be dismissed now, you can. But if you could keep all your conversation out in the hallway, and if you still want to come forward for prayer, we'd love to pray for you. God bless you. Go in peace. See you this Tuesday night at the meeting place.